good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, giving then translates the giving of God, the giving of Christ, as we now are His children when we're born again in Jesus Christ. That becomes the nature of our existence. That we too, like Christ, then become giving people. As we give with the right heart, with the right attitude, led by the Spirit, the interesting dynamic in all that is that we find that our giving, Spirit-led giving, it brings joy. This is the secret of giving, that built into our giving is joy. Now, just to kind of back up a little bit and get a little context to what's going on in our scripture, the Corinthian church in whom Paul is writing this letter to, they had really gotten off track. They had moral issues, they had gossip issues, they had issues of selfishness, of worldliness, of carnality. The church was just all in chaos. So Paul wrote a letter to them, delivered by Titus. And as Titus brought that letter, it was a letter of correction. It was a letter of truth that Paul was trying to administer the direction of the Lord in their lives so that they would walk in freedom and joy and really experience the blessings of the Lord. It was a trying time for Paul because he was hurt by their lack of friendship and their lack of love toward him, but he is also hurt to see them walk in such chaos and in such disarray. Well, as they received this letter from the hand of Titus, they received the truth. They received the correction. And then we begin to see this revival take place in the hearts of the Corinthians, in the church, in Paul's own life, in Titus's life, and we see now the Word of God bringing forth this fruit of revival. Now, as we come to chapter 8 here, Paul then, he's excited, he's encouraged, he's seeing God's Word work in their life, but they were missing one thing, the completion and the totality of revival. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning. If you'll take a look at our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look in verse 1. So now he's just noticing, okay, things are going well, but there's something here, something that you need to understand and know if we're going to continue with this process of revival. He says, "Moreover, brethren, when we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love for us, See that you abound in this grace also. What is he talking about? What's going on here? Well, notice now, in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, when we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, the churches of Macedonia were in the northern part of the territory. And these were the churches, some of you may have read through the book of Philippians or the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Those are the churches in this area, in the area of Macedonia. The church at Berea, some of you may be familiar with, that the Bereans in the book of Acts were the people who were known for checking things out by the word of God. People would say things to them, and they'd say, "That sounds great, but we're going to look in our scripture and see if that's right." They were commended for that. So these were the churches in Macedonia. Now, the churches in Macedonia, at one time, that area was very wealthy, well-to-do. Things were going very well, a lot of prosperity. But as the Roman Empire began to advance, war ravaged the area, to at the time of the writing here, the churches in the area in Macedonia were completely decimated. They were destitute and poor. They were wiped out and they had nothing. And Paul is using them as an example to the Corinthians. As Paul is progressing this discussion about revival, he's pointing out the churches in the area of Macedonia. And he said, now here's what I want you to know. Let's read that again. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So he's saying, okay, guys, okay, Corinthians, things are going well. The gifts of the Spirit are working in operation correctly, biblically. God is blessing. He's pouring out His Spirit. But there's something I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to take a look, observe a certain grace upon the churches in Macedonia. Which churches were those? Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea. Very good. I want you to notice those churches. Because if you notice in those churches, he says, I want you to know the grace of God that was bestowed upon those churches. He's saying that there was a certain grace that they had, the churches in Macedonia, that the Corinthian church was lacking. So he's instructing them. Now, he says, look in verse 2, he says that in a great trial of affliction, that was their condition. That was what was going on with those churches in Macedonia. A great trial of affliction. That was their condition. But notice these terms here. A great trial of affliction. And then he says, the abundance of their joy. So that they had not just regular joy, not just an even amount of joy. He's saying that these churches in the area of Macedonia, I want you to learn about this grace that's been bestowed upon them. And this grace has been working in their midst, in their congregations, in their lives. This grace given by God, this supernatural grace that it's working in the middle of these afflictions and these trials, these difficulties, these times of poverty and warfare, these times that where they've been had been stricken materially, so they had nothing. And he said, there's a grace in all that I want you to have. A grace that where even in that situation they had an abundance of joy. He said, and he points out, and their deep poverty. abounded. Notice those words, abundance, abounded in the riches of their liberality. That means their willingness to freely give. Now, what was happening here is the church at Corinth, at one time there was this a missionary work that they were doing, and Paul was spearheading it to where he would take up a collection from the churches as he would travel around. And that collection he would take to the church at Jerusalem, which was even in worse shape than the churches at Macedonia. Now, the church in Jerusalem was the church where it all started. And then persecution caused the diaspora, or the dispersion of the people, to just to run and flee into different areas. And that's where we have the building up and the starting and the planting of all these different churches on the outskirts. See, what happened is now the Corinthians, as they got carnal or worldly, as they started to fight one another and be irritated, as they started to be less biblical in their approach, they stopped giving. That whole missionary endeavor, the giving of their resources and their material possessions to the advancement of the kingdom of God, that stopped. And so, as part of this revival here, Paul is saying, okay, now, a sign of spiritual strength is that now you're beginning to know and understand how grace works. This section here is about how grace works. He says, in verse 3, he says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing." That means that the church at Macedonia, or the churches in those areas, they were participating in this missionary endeavor of giving of their resources. Even though they had such a difficult struggle in those areas because they had very little. But see, here Paul is saying, and he's talking about now how giving is really the working of grace. Did you notice here how he said that what the churches in Macedonia were doing was a result of grace that was bestowed upon them? Did you notice that? And he says to the Corinthians, you guys have more than them materially, but they have something more than you that's of greater value. And that's this working of grace in their life. It was the outworking of grace, the feet of grace, the steps of grace, the mechanics of grace, the churning of grace that caused them to give. Now, it seems as if, because of their condition, it wasn't the amount they were giving. It was their willingness and their heart in that endeavor. That's what's important. And that's why really, from a New Testament perspective, that the whole, should I give 10% or is that, that's there's no number on that. And I can't stand up here and say, well, you should give this amount. And you know, as a church, we don't ask for money. And the reason we do that is because what we're going to be covering over here in the next few weeks is that this giving that's being talked about in the Bible, it comes from a certain heart of a person that themselves has appreciated and enjoyed the grace of God in their own life. And it had little to do with the amount. And it had everything to do with the willingness, the heart. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. That we should be able to cheerfully give to the Lord, correctly understood. Now, couple things I'd like to point out here to you. This giving and the understanding of how we're to handle our material possessions is found right here in this area of Scripture. And first of all, and the first point I'd like to make is that our giving, it results from grace. The correct understanding of grace in our own life will cause us to also want to act in that same manner, or that we would be touched so much by God's grace in our own life. And that means that we would be touched so much by the riches and the blessings and the goodness that God freely gives us. He just lavishes grace upon us. His favor that's not earned. His favor that's not merited. God just lavishes that because He's a giver. That's the nature of God. And so He gives. And we see in our text that sometimes we say, well, God doesn't seem like He's giving to me. Look at the car I'm driving. Look at the house I'm living in. He doesn't seem like He's giving it to me. But when we think that, we're missing it. The Macedonian churches, they didn't have anything materially. But they were rich in the grace of God. The Corinthians, we're told to look at them as an example. Because even though they had absolutely nothing, they were abounding in joy. And it was their appreciation and enjoyment of God's favor in their own life which allowed them to have this attitude of being willing to give as well. Because that's what happens when we're touched by the grace of God. We're in awe of, we're blown away by what God gives us, by the salvation that He's given us, by His Holy Spirit, by heaven, by the gift of His Son, the gift of Himself, the opportunity to be a child of God, to have our sins washed away, and the promises that God will take care of us here in this world. We're rich in that. And we need to have the right perspective that being rich in the grace of God is much greater, not even to be compared to the riches here on earth. But it's hard because we have a tendency to have a skewed view about worldly riches and God's blessings. But the Macedonian church, as you kind of read this section of Scripture, you sort of, as I'm reading, I'm thinking, I want to have that stuff that they have. I want to be abounding in joy. Do you guys? That sounds pretty cool, huh? But what we understand from this is that only comes from the Lord. And it only comes as we realize and enjoy and appreciate His grace to us personally. Another way to look at grace is the passion of God to share His goodness with us. That it is His passion to share Him and His blessings and His riches. Most specifically and more importantly, the spiritual things that He lavishes upon us. Now, He promises to take care of our needs according to His riches in heaven. He promises that. But He doesn't promise us that we will be rich in material things. He promises us that we will be rich in Him. And as we learn from the Macedonian churches, that when we're rich in Him, the material things seem to be kind of insignificant. Because we know God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our needs. He's going to provide for us. And so what's left is that we enjoy and appreciate the grace of God in our own life. And as we do, the natural effect of grace that is working in our heart, active grace, that it reflects or it works or manifests itself in this desire to give as well. So we can also kind of reverse that around and say, well, if I'm sort of, my heart's just sort of shut down to this whole giving idea of giving my material things, or and that's specifically what it talks about here is material things, but we can apply this just to the giving of ourselves, to the ministries, to the needs, giving our time, giving our energy. We can apply it like that too, that if we have grace working in us, that our heart is open. If we're not understanding and appreciating grace biblically, enjoying that, then it has a tendency to shut our heart to the giving of our material things or the giving of ourselves or our time or our energy. So the answer here is the grace of God. It's difficult when we are enjoying the grace of God to have a shut down heart to others, to close ourselves off to the needs around us. Now, so the first thing is that this giving, this heart and this attitude, this freedom of giving, it comes as the grace of God works in our life. And that's what happens when it works in our life, is that we have these hearts of giving. Now, the second thing is that our actual giving, that process of giving as we're led by the Spirit with a right attitude, it actually fills us with the fruit of grace. That's a neat thing. And God's, He's very efficient. God doesn't waste things. That's what I like about God. He uses everything. And so as we are touched by the grace of God and we give from our hearts, then we receive back the fruit of grace. And it's this cycle. See, sometimes when we give, we can feel exhausted or burned out or taken advantage of. And I mean this from not just a monetary way, but when we give of our time, we serve our church or donate things, we can feel like this giving is making me exhausted. This giving is depleting my resources. This giving isn't working out. But see, if we give from the Spirit with the attitude of gratitude, an attitude of appreciation, and that's how we give, here's what God does. He says, you know what? If you give to me, I'm going to make sure you don't outgive me. I'm God and I'm the giver, and so you're not going to outgive me. And so we give. And as we give, we receive. I don't know if you're an investment person, but that sounds like a pretty good investment, doesn't it? Now, Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he gives us a similar idea about this. He says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, inside of you. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So built into this whole idea, and remember, this is the gift of grace that's bestowed upon us that causes us to have this willingness, this freedom, this even excitement to give. And as we give, then God's giving back to us. And now we're becoming these vessels of the grace of God running in us and through us, in us and through us, in us and through us. We become channels of the grace of God. And as that happens, a person having the constant flow of the grace of God in and through their life, they're filled with joy. But see, giving is woven into all that. And that's why Jesus said the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. It was this whole idea that now as believers in Jesus Christ, we too come now into this area of grace that Jesus would try to teach His disciples and tried to share with His churches, that we are to be these people that give. And as we do, the grace of God comes in and through us. And as that happens then, giving out of gratitude and appreciation for what God has done, we remove the expectations or the strings that are attached to our giving. Because that's what causes burnout. When we have a string attached to it. And we expect, well, if I do this, I should have some result. Or I should have some appreciation or some recognition. But see, God is so different than that. Because He said it's much better that you give to Me and you get My appreciation and recognition and you get My promise to give back to you. So it really doesn't matter what sort of recognition or appreciation or acceptance we get from outside. Because when we give to the Lord, whatever that is. We're not really giving to people or others. Now, what's interesting about that then is when we understand that what we're giving is we're giving to the Lord, that really changes our whole perspective. And again, whether that's time, energy, or finances, as we give it to the Lord, no matter what happens, we have God's promise that He will press down, shaken together, He will put back something that is of far greater measure. And that is the goodness and the grace of Him in our heart. Now, we also find here that this as we give out of the appreciation and gratitude for God's grace in our own life, we find that giving, it gives us a certain attitude of grace as well. Did you see that last part in verse 3? He says that Paul bears witness that according to their ability, which is they didn't have anything. He said, yes, beyond their ability. That means that this was supernatural, that they were able to give even more than they had. Notice the attitude that they were freely willing. Their hearts were freely willing to give. And that is that this attitude of giving gives us the same attitude of grace. That there's no strings we put on it. There's no barriers. We just have open hearts, trusting in God, receiving the grace of God, and led by the Spirit, we give what God asks us to give back. And now within that whole environment is this joy that springs from our heart as the grace of God and the gifts of the Spirit are now working in our life. Now, notice in verse 4. Now he says, as he continues this discussion, he shows us that giving is not just the working of grace, but giving also is the sharing then of God's grace. And that's what God's grace is meant for. It's meant to reproduce something. As we experience God's grace and we share God's grace, then there's this effect that happens. That God's grace is meant to be spread out. It's meant to be shared. And that's how we do it, by these open hearts that have been touched by God and are so amazed with the grace of God in our own life that we have these attitudes of giving. Now, as we do, follow the flow of this. In verse 4, Paul is saying these churches in Macedonia that had nothing, he says they implored us. They were imploring us. They were saying to Paul, please take this. Please take our money. Please, almost as if they're shoving it in his face, please take this. And it seems as if Paul was maybe a little reluctant to do that. Paul was just sort of, well, that's good, guys. I got enough. It reminds me of Moses when he asked people to bring things for the building of the tabernacle. And they brought so much stuff. He's like, whoa, no more. That's good. Okay, we're good. We have enough. But see, isn't that neat to see this working of grace in the hearts of people that are now willing to share that grace? He says that they implored Paul with much urgency, almost as if they didn't want to hang on to it anymore. They wanted this grace to be flowing through them, and Paul seems to be just holding that back. See, their attitude was that as they give, they were going to get something much greater inside of them, the working of grace and the working of the Holy Spirit. So their attitude was just, it was begging Paul to take their money, and it was urgent because they didn't want to waste time. Paul, take it. I need God's grace. I need joy. So take it. They were connecting those two things. They were imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift. And here's the key. And the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Hey, don't hold back the opportunity that we have, Paul, to be a part of God's grace being shared. I know we're giving beyond our means. I know we're giving sacrificially, and it was probably just a little bit in reality. It wasn't the amount. It was their willingness, their trust in God. That would say, you know, I know God promises to take care of me. So now I want to be involved in this grace being shared with other people. I can't be there, they would say. I can't go to Jerusalem. But I can by giving of what I have and allowing you to take it there. And he's saying, now I can participate in that ministry. And that's the neat opportunity that you and I can participate in ministering around the whole world by giving of our resources, of what we have here, and those resources go to places over the whole world. Now we're ministering across the world in India and Africa, Egypt, Haiti, Mexico, wherever that may be. You turn for Christ, wherever that may be. We're ministering right now. As our finances are going to support that ministry, that now we are a participant in that ministry, which means that we're sharing the grace of God in the way we can. That's the significance. And they're so insistent upon that they had this urgency that they say, hey, don't stop us from enjoying these blessings of sharing in these ministries, which meant that we would enjoy of the fruit of grace in our own life. And he says in verse 5, he says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. See, that's where right giving occurs. Right giving occurs when we submit ourselves to the Lord. when we give ourselves to God first. Do you notice that? That's an important piece of information. Giving ourselves to the Lord in an act of submission, saying, God, I'm yours, and everything I have is yours. So show me what to do with it. Show me how to use it. Show me, lead me, God, so that I may be filled with these blessings of grace that manifest themselves in joy. So they gave themselves to the Lord then to us, or to Paul and Paul's work. Then they gave themselves to Paul and Paul's work, and they did it by the will of God. So they're led by the Spirit. So they're completely resigned to God's will. And when we get to an area where the working of God is happening in our life, then that really begins to show itself and take root when we're able then to give of things, because material things, because it shows what we're trusting in. That's a tangible way to show and display what we live for. And in our society, there's really not a greater way to show who we trust and what we're trusting in than the use of our resources and our finances. But see, the will of God then was working. They were submitted to the will of God. And so for them, they weren't doing the shaky hand, you know, oh no, here comes the plate, put it in. Oh man, could have used that today. They were just, God's will be done. Completely free from all that. There was no like going back and forth and none of that. It was just this freedom that, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want God's grace to be manifested in my life. And so he says in verse 6, it says, so we urge Titus. That was the guy who brought the letter to the Corinthians. Paul says, we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. So we find that giving, as we give, we are then sharing God's grace. And that's what God's grace is meant for. God's grace isn't meant to like be put on a shelf somewhere and just kind of hang out. The purpose of God's grace in our own life, and the best use of God's grace, is that it would work in our life and work out into others' lives. Grace is just a thing like that. It's a thing that needs to be shared, and when it's shared, then we receive more. But as we share then, we then have this privilege of participation. That's what the churches in Macedonia were saying, that we can participate in the work of God's grace going out in all these places. And they saw that as something that was urgent, something that they were excited about, and something they never wanted to be held back by. But we also find that giving is also spreading God's will. Giving is that tangible way of showing that we are submitted to God's will, and that we trust in God's will, and that we're living for God's will, and we know that God's will be done in our lives. So the encouragement here is that we just don't shut ourselves off. Encouragement is that we don't hold back or just be closed-minded, but we actually see giving as an act of worship as we show what we trust in and we prioritize the spiritual things above the material things. So if we can have the ushers come forward. No, I was kidding. And so we set things up, and if you're here for the first time, I think this might be the first time we've ever talked about giving in this way. And that's because it's in the Scripture. But see, we set things up here to where we value and honor giving of our resources, and we see the value in that as an act of worship. But at the same time, we don't do anything to encourage emotional giving, guilt giving, pressure giving. We don't have a plan to build a 100,000 square foot building. But we just believe as the Lord guides, the Lord provides. So we don't have to do that because we're signed up to God's will. And if He wants us to have a 100,000 foot building, we're going to have a great 100,000 foot building. If He wants us to meet in a park somewhere, we'll meet in a park somewhere. We're not ambitious to have our kingdom on earth. We're ambitious to have God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So what He wants to do is fine. That's why we don't pass the offering around. We're okay. I don't have a big doctrinal issue with that at all. I just think we have the box back there. And if people are growing in the grace of God, that's just going to be something that they would naturally want to do. That would be something that God's grace and the Holy Spirit would lead them to do. And then you get the blessing because you're giving out of your love for God. Not because somebody pressured you or made you feel guilty or said, we have to make $1 million in 2 weeks, and if we don't, we're not going to exist anymore. We don't have any of that. And you know what? Wouldn't you rather have it in God's hands than the burden be on us to try to make money and try to get this big thing and do this, have all these material things? Wouldn't you rather just say, God, whatever you want, you just give to us and we'll gladly take it? It's a freedom there. Because we're trusting in God. And I don't want anything that God doesn't want. Do you? So why am I going to push everybody to give money? So, can we have the ushers come forward? No, I'm just kidding. So as God works in your life and works in your heart, as a church body, we're trusting in the Lord. And God has never let us down. He's always provided for us. Even when we took leaps of faith where God was leading and we didn't have the money at that time, but God said, go ahead and move into this new building. This auditorium at the high school, it's just too cold for you guys. And we'll go ahead and have that building. And we've been here for a year and it was double the amount we were paying there. And we've never had a problem paying our rent. God's always provided. And so where God leads, God provides. So we need to wrap things up. But the next couple weeks or so, because the section of Scripture we're in has to do with giving, I want us to be encouraged first that God's a giver. It's the nature of God to give. And He desires to continually give to all of us. And if we ever doubt that, the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says, well, look at what He gave you in His Son. Based on that now, would He withhold things that are good for you? Maybe if you don't have something, maybe it's because it's not good for you. Maybe there are pitfalls in that would ruin you, that would harm your relationship with God. Maybe there's things in that. So don't worry about it. Quit making that an idol. The Bible says that the people who have their focus on getting rich, there's a snare for them. There's a trap. We're not to worry about those things. Because in reality, all those things are God's anyway. Everything we have is from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So just enjoy life. Enjoy His blessings. Enjoy His grace. And allow His grace to flow in us and through us in how we handle our material goods. And if you're not the recipient here this morning of God's greatest gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, you can do that right here, right now, right where you sit. Jesus is waiting. Jesus has already done the work so that your sins can be forgiven. And all you have to do is receive. Receive the gift of eternal life in His Son, Jesus Christ. That was the work of God and the display of His grace as He sent His Son to die for us. Received His gift of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for what a great morning, Lord. Just so neat to be together on this special day to have Sarah be here and Caleb and to have all these special mothers here. And it just reminds us, Lord, of the gifts that You've given us. You're such a good giver, Lord. And I thank You that You do give. You constantly give, Lord. You want to give to us to the point of overflowing where we can't handle it anymore, Lord. So I pray a blessing on this body as we continue this discussion in the next couple weeks about giving, Lord. Let us see the joy in giving, and also help us to see areas in our life, Lord, where we're not trusting You or we haven't surrendered to Your will, and we're just holding back, Lord. And Your desire is to give to us so that we can give out and then You'd give us more. And so, Lord, maybe for some of us, this is an area where You're dealing with our lives and You're asking us to trust You and to surrender to Your will, Lord. And we do thank You for all Your provisions here. You've always provided for us, Lord. And we're able to just support missionaries and works across the world, Lord, and able to reach out through the generosity of the people here, God. And so we ask that the resources that You give us here, Lord, would always be to further Your kingdom, to do Your work, Your way, in Your timing, Lord. And we just thank You that Your will is perfect, God. So we love You, Jesus. May Your grace abound, and may we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you guys.